We're doing the Doshot Aran, we're up to page Kuf Chaf Bet in the Machon Shalem edition, page Reish Pei in the Mosad Arav Kook edition. And the Ran had gone off on a very interesting tangent discussing the verse Lo Yasul Shevet Mihuda, the prophecy that the leadership will never leave Judea. And he had quoted Nachmanides' interpretation that once the leadership landed with the tribe of Judea, and from then onward, no other tribe should take the leadership. The verse is not saying that we will forever be in charge, that the Jewish people will always have a king. That obviously isn't true. But rather, the verse is saying that from the time that the kingship goes to the tribe of Judea, it should not leave. And then the Ran asked, what's going on here? What kind of promise is Yaakov making? It's very nice that the people who took the leadership from Judea were punished. But at the end of the day, most of Jewish history, Judea did not rule over us. There was not a singular king of Judea. All you had was two, David and Shlomo. And from then onward, you no longer had one singular king from Judea. So that's a pretty bad promise. If Yaakov was making a promise, and we said this is the Ran's position, that this was a promise. We could have understood, the Ramban and other commentaries could understand that this was a commandment. God is saying, leave the leadership in the hands of Judea, and they didn't listen, and they were in fact punished for it. But the Ran wants to learn, this is a prophetic vision, this is a promise to Yehuda. At the end of the day, Yaakov is blessing Yehuda, so he's giving him a promise. He's saying, you will be the leader, and if that's interpretation, so his promise didn't come true. Throughout most of the Second Temple period, the leaders were not from Judea, they were the Asmoneans. Throughout most of the First Temple period, Judea did not have sovereignty. Rather, they had a small segment of Israel, and most of Israel was under the rulership of the northern king, who was not from the tribe of Yehuda. Aval al da'ati, but I think, says the Ran, a different interpretation in the pasuk. Ha'parsha hazot romezet lechol shevet v'shevet ma she'ikrenu. If you look closely at the story of Yaakov's blessings, he is indicating to each tribe what is going to befall that tribe. K'mo sheramaz b'shevet dan inyan shimshon. If you look closely, you see, when it came to the tribe of Dan, for example, he alludes to what's going to happen to Samson. He speaks about Dan being like a snake, just like a snake bites the heel and the whole horse flies upward and the rider gets hurt from that. So too Shimshon, he's like a snake, he's a lone soldier, and he fights them, he brings down the house, and in roundabout ways he weakens the Philistine Empire. He's telling the tribe of Dan, they will have a great leadership who will judge singularly. That's Shimshon, v'amal b'sota, and that the Talmud tells us in Sota, that's an allusion to Samson, that he's the only one who was so smart, he knew the Torah so well, and he was so brilliant as a judge, that he didn't need a second opinion. He could stand there, listen to the two people, and it was as though God was hearing their case. Dan Yadin ke'achad shivtei Yisrael. He was the singular leader who could act alone, not only in his missions, not only in war, but even in judging, he was so brilliant in Torah.
Shimshon.
וכמו שאמר הנושך יקווה סוס ויפול וכבוא אחור שהוא רמז לשני עמודים אשר בית נכון עליהם. As the Talmud says that when Jacob said that the snake bites the heels of the horse, and that and in so doing the rider gets thrown back, that's an allusion to the two pillars that the house was resting on that Shimshon brought down. And when Yaakov foresaw that Shimshon would fall into the hands of the enemy, Amar Lishuatcha Kiviti Hashem, Yaakov prayed for God's salvation that Shimshon should be saved. וכן ביהודה ידבר על דרך ההודעה והבטחה. By the same token, says the Ran, I learned differently than the Ramban. When God tells Judea, לא יסור שבט מיהודה, he's declaring, he is promising what is yet to come. He is not only making a commandment. He is not saying, leave the leadership in the hands of Judea, the way the Ramban learned, but rather, he is notifying us what's yet to come. Ve'amar, so Yaakov says, lo yasu shevet miyuda. The leadership shall not leave Judea. Klomar, as if to say, she'im heyot sheyachtiu malcheihim. Even though their kings will sin, adayin lo yagea onsham shetistalek v'shetasur mehem hamlucha legamrei. They will not lose the leadership completely. Not like the Ramban said. The Ramban said, if you're not king over all of Israel, you're not king. So you have a little kelir, you have a little, what's it called? Kingdom. You have a little kingdom of two tribes. No, that's not it. The fact that you do have a kingdom, that's a fulfillment of the prophecy. God didn't say how big their kingdom would be. He says they will continue having a king. They did continue having a king. King Solomon sinned, and that's why they lost their rights to be kings over all of Israel. Right, that's precisely the point. Any other king that sinned lost all rights to the throne. When Shlomo sins, his son is still king, and his grandson is still king. That's the prophecy of Yaakov Avinu. You will continue having kings. He didn't say your kings will rule over all of Israel, but rather you will continue having kings. And that in fact happened. V'nei ramazlo, ma'amar Hashem itbarach l'shlomo, yana sha'ita zot imcha v'lo shamarta briti v'chukotai sh'otziviti alecha, karoa akrat ha'mamlecha ma'alecha v'untati ale'avdecha, ach b'yamecha lo sen alman David avicha, miyad bincha ikra'ena. You see, God tells Solomon, this idea that the kingdom will be torn from him. In his son's days, the kingdom will be torn. And Yaakov alludes to Yehuda, you will continue having a throne. But he doesn't say it'll be a big throne. That's why Yaakov promises Yehuda, even though his kings will sin, they won't lose the throne completely. The exact opposite from the Ramban. The Ramban learned, Yaakov gives a commandment, Yehuda should be the sole king. Now the Ramban didn't make this up. This is quoted in Chazal, this is a Gemara, that the kings were sinning. These are Midrashim that say the kings that maintained the throne were sinning. So the Ran has to contend with that. But the Ramban had said it's a commandment. Only Yehuda should be king. So the first generation, Shlomo's son Rechavam, so there you had Achia Shiloni, you had the prophet Achia, comes to Yeravam ben Nevat and tells him, God has declared you should be king over 10 tribes. Fine. So Yeravam was king. But who said the next king had a right? Maybe it was only during Yeravam's time that they were allowed to have a king other than Judea. That's how the Ramban learns. They were sinning all those years that they had another king. The Ran doesn't learn that way. He says, on the contrary, Yaakov wasn't giving a commandment. Yaakov was making a promise. He was prophesizing. This is what's going to be. Judea will always have a king. Just as God tells Shlomo, God tells Shlomo, I will not remove the kingdom from you completely. I will leave you with one tribe for the sake of David my servant and for the sake of Jerusalem that I have chosen. And throughout the period of the first temple, you find that Judea had a king, and they didn't lose their leadership. They had their kingdom. Small, but they had a kingdom. And according to what I explained, the fact that our first king was Saul from the tribe of Benjamin, that's not a question. How come there was a king from another tribe, and Judea had no representative? According to what the Ran is saying, God was telling Judea, you will always have a king. He didn't have a king. There was the period of King Saul when Judea did not have a king. God wasn't promising Yehuda that there won't be any other king. That's not what God was saying. God was saying, we'll see in 1 second, Aval hodi'o sheme'et shetatchil malchuto. What God was telling Yehuda is, from the time you start having a king, what does the verse say? Lo yasur. It will not be removed. It doesn't say there won't be any other king. It says once you start, you won't lose it. Velo tipasek legamre. You won't lose. You won't have a complete severance. It will not be completely severed from you. Once you have the kingdom, you won't lose it completely. V'lachen malach Shaul, and that's why Saul could be the first king. Lefi shelo haya b'shevet Yehuda, roi limloch lemalchut kamo. Because there wasn't anyone fitting to be king like Saul. He was the most pious Jew of the time. Kasher Yehuda katuv. That's what the verse testifies. It says over there when Shmuel, when the prophet Samuel calls Shaul forward, when he's going to be anointed as king. So it says over there, Ken kamo b'cholam. Everyone looked at him and realized there was none like him. Shaul was ahead above the rest spiritually. He was the most fitting to be king. So that's the verse isn't just telling you a nice comment. Look, everyone saw Saul was better. The verse is telling you why did they appoint Saul and not someone from the tribe of Judea? God said so, but everyone recognized that there was no one else who was as fitting as him. Yaakov simply promised Yehuda that from the time he starts having a king in his tribe, he won't lose it completely. And like we said earlier, when it says lo yasur, it will not be removed. What it means is once it started. Before it started, that's not called removed. It hasn't yet come to be. The verse says it will not be removed. The verse is clearly saying once you start having the throne, you won't lose it. Now, what about the Hasmonean kingdom? And from the period of the Hasmonean kings, that's not a question on us at all. Even though the Hasmoneans were not from the tribe of Judea, they were Kohanim. God's promise to Yehuda was that so long as we have sovereignty, so long as we have our own kings, lo tikaret meshevet Yehuda. Then Judea will have a king. So long as we have kings, then Judea will be there as a king. God never promised that there will be no other leader other than the tribe of Yehuda. The Ran says, we never had a real king during the second period, during the temple of the second temple. During the period of the second temple, you had the Jewish people under the Persian rule, the Mede rule, the Roman rule. We never had sovereignty, even under the Hasmoneans. And this is an idea that we already encountered in the Meiri, that the Hasmoneans, we celebrate their victory because it was miraculous. But there were other aspects to their victory. They went into a treaty with the Romans. When they fought the Greeks, they were working with the Romans. If you read the books closely, you see they planned their rebellion at a time when there was rebellions brewing throughout the Middle East against the Greek Empire. They planned their rebellions and they sent word to other countries to rebel at the same time. They had all kinds of tactics they were using. At the end of the day, the rabbis looked at it and said, this is a miracle. With all the tactics, with all the planning, with all the treaties with the Romans, it was nonetheless a miracle. But they didn't really have sovereignty. That's what he's saying. He's saying the kings were really appointed. They were like governors appointed by the Persians or the Romans. But they weren't really kings. We call them kings. They weren't really kings. By the way, Josephus says this too. Josephus says that he laughed at the people when they wanted to go to war with Rome. He said to them, we don't have an army. The Jewish people did not have an army throughout the period of the Second Temple. They provided their soldiers. They gave their soldiers over to the Roman emperor, and the soldiers would serve in the Roman army, but they didn't have any generals. They didn't really have an army.
A little autonomy as long as Rome allowed it.
Right. Right.
Wait a second. What about a few examples such as the Maccabim?
So the Maccabim was an army that they put together.
Okay, so no, it started off as a militia force, but didn't it not grow to a,
no,
to a large organized
army? So again, that you have to read. Josephus. Even in Sefer HaMaccabim, so they speak about their wars, their guerrilla warfare. But at the end of the day, The Ran is saying we did not have sovereignty. By the way, the Ran over here is arguing on the Rambam, because the Rambam... Do we have a Rambam here?
Yeah,
we
do. Raises a lot of Hanukkah questions.
Right. Changes the whole picture of Hanukkah on you. Right. Don't say I told you.
First thing I was going to do, my wife, we were discussing Hanukkah. Yeah. Political sovereignty was one of the necessary conditions that we celebrate. What happened?
According to the Ran, when was before either I guess 1948 or 1967 with regards to Jerusalem, when was the last time Am Yisrael had sovereignty?
The first temple. The Rambam writes, we had all these troubles from the Greeks until the God of our fathers had mercy over them and saved them from the Greeks' hands. And then the sons of the Asmonean, the high priest, they killed the Greeks and they rescued Israel from their hands. And they appointed a king from the tribe of the Kohanim. And the kingdom was returned to Israel for over 200 years till the destruction of the second temple. So the Rambam certainly sounds like the kingdom was restored to Israel. We had a king and... and there's another place where the Rambam also sounds like this.
But the Ran makes a great point. If you can make that case, you could for sure make the case that we don't have sovereignty today.
Really?
If you could make that case, with your kid reads the thesis, because, I mean, with the United States pulling the strings, why does a Ariel Sharon or a Bibi all of a sudden change positions so much? What kind of outside pressures are there? Unless you want to say that because you have this nuclear weapon, you can blow up the whole region, yourself included. But that's...
But, I don't see that.
I think that if you can make a case that you didn't have it under the
Hashmonaim, yeah.
I think you could certainly make a case that we're subject to more outside pressure today. I would think, but
No, because he's saying that the Roman king would appoint our kings, and that you see that in Josephus. You don't have...
elections are not influenced.
Obama didn't want Netanyahu. Obama didn't want Netanyahu, right?
I don't. I think that's true, that they certainly would have preferred, but... I don't know. I certainly think it's like Yom Yerushalayim. We march with a ton of people and an army and security, you know, through Damascus Gate. They all recommended it 1 a.m. on your own way, keeper, necessarily. I don't know how much autonomy. I mean, I'm grateful and I thank God we live at this time and what we have is unbelievable compared to what we had through the ages. But to say that we have King David, Shlomo HaMelech kind of independence.
But we're on the
derech
to achieve.
Amen. Amen.
All right.
Anyway.
Okay, let's continue a little bit. Umkol makom ena leechad me'echav. But, says the Ran, and here he's going completely against the Ramban. He says, the verse didn't mean to say that none of the brothers would have rulership in Israel, none of them would be kings. Aval evticho shelo tipasek meshivto ha'memshala legamre kol zman shetiyam lucha b'Yisrael. What he promised him was that so long as we would have a king, he wouldn't lose it completely. Aval biyot Yisrael bagola in melech ve'en sar, but throughout the years of our exile, where we had no king, we had no governor, lo uvtach shevet Yehuda shetisher lo memshala, there Yehuda has no promise that they will remain in charge. Now, this is the Ran's position. In a second, the Ran is going to quote Chazal. We have to hear, he's not done yet. He's saying, this is what I think is pshat in the pasuk. But Chazal in the Medrash give us another interpretation, and that's what he's going to say in a minute. Yes?
Okay, so what's he getting at? But once Israel does return to Eretz Yisrael, the kingdom will be restored. But I mean, but like it's like we went over earlier with Amalek and, you know, the Moabim, it's everybody's been moved around. And within Israel, it's like that also. We don't know who's from what tribe. I mean.
It's not so clear. Some people know they're descendants of Yehuda. There are still people who know they are descendants from Yehuda. There were rabbis who had a family tree dating back to the tribe of Yehuda. The Shlah Kodosh had that, and I know people who can trace themselves back to the Shlah. There are a few people in Jewish history that were able to trace themselves back to Yehuda, and there are people who can trace themselves back to them.
Wow.
So there are people who know they're from Yehuda. Yeah.
All the way back to Yehuda.
Wow. Yeah. Well, all you have to do... What?
I've heard people doing it to Sinai.
Okay.
So then you have even more generations. And so then you can do it all the way to Abraham.
Yeah.
But is it just according to your, like, your father's lineage?
Yes, only fathers, yeah.
From Benjamin, we have today somebody who claims to be, because from Babel they claim to sleep.
We have all 12 tribes. There are people among us who are from all 12 tribes, but I don't know if people can trace the lineage all the way back to Benjamin.
DNA and something, they can't tell you who is Cohen or something. Maybe it's some characteristic even in the tribes.
Right, I don't know.
But can be. So I think different. Maybe you can judge this idea. When they move in Jerusalem, was a few people, so they decide who wants to move. After this, they choose to move. Now we do the same, because Yehezkel says will be 13 spaces, one will be Truma, so you must decide. After that, you choose, look, this, you go there, so will be easy to do this, no? Can be this real? I mean, is something wrong with this idea?
I think that the part of what has to happen in that period that Yechezkel is describing is that we have to know which tribe we're from. That has to return to Israel. We have to know in order to have the holiness of Shemitah and Yovel. Much of the holiness of the land of Israel is contingent on the people of Israel settling it correctly. Meaning, if we aren't divided according to tribes in Israel, then the land does not have the holiness it should have. Halachically, this is a phenomenal concept.
Yeah, but it's not enough, because Israel doesn't keep Yovel, no time was. So they also have. Now it's necessary to have Yovel, to have these kind of tribes to do, or it's not necessary.
It is. It is. It is.
Depending on if we find, if we settle according to the tribes.
No.
Right.
It is.
Yeah.
Until Messianic tribes, we can't. Right. We see some people trace to Yehuda, but
it is
nobody
Messianic
traces
time.
To
right.
Or to Asher.
Right.
And Messianic times doesn't mean like Haredi says that Messiah comes from here.
I don't know.
That's not.
I mean.
I don't. Personally, I don't.
We don't have Shechem either. That's a
start to build the temple, start to build the Mizbeah. Doesn't come from here.
We're mixing a bunch of different
so
things.
Okay.
I'm saying the temple is one thing, Mashiach is another thing, the tribes is a third thing. They're not all the same. Yes.
I was always under the impression that most of the Jews living in Israel right now were from the tribe, are descendants of the tribe of Judah. Is that not correct?
It's a machlokas. That's the simple understanding, yes. That we are primarily from Yehuda. We also have Binyamin and Shimon and Levi, right? And the 10 northern ones, so we have a minimal amount from them. That's the simple reading, but it is a machlokas tanoim. It's not exactly agreed. It's not clear what happened to the 10 northern tribes. And it's not clear if they're coming back or not.
I heard that there's an opinion that this connecting makes no sense to me whatsoever, but maybe you heard of it or know something about it. That's like the original settlers of the Americas were somehow connected to the 10 lost tribes. It sounds like nonsense to me, but maybe you know something about it. Curious.
Let's talk about that after class, okay? That's we got 2 minutes, yeah.
And somebody's father's not Jewish and their mother's Jewish, but how did they figure out which tribe
they're not in the tribe?
That's a good question. In general, they're like a convert, so there's going to be a special section for them, but they're not really, they don't have a tribe,
special
right?
Land?
Right.
That'd be a big one.
Right. There's going to be a large territory for them. Different opinions, whether they'll have their own section or they'll have a section with different tribes.
So that encompasses just relocating everybody, if that were to happen, like by force or what?
Well, why by force? You'll get a deed. You'll have a piece of property out in Damascus.
I'll be so happy.
I mean, Jerusalem will reach Damascus. And the rest of Israel, you understand now why they have to build all these super trains, right? To get people places very fast. Because it says that we're going to expand. So, we're getting ready. Okay. Okay, the truth is we're almost finished, so I guess next week we'll finish. The Ran will explain to us Chazal, and we'll finish this speech, Bezat Hashem, next week. Yeah.